Good morning, everybody. Hello, I am Caitlin McCarthy. You are listening to The Life of an Entrepreneur, guest hosting this week for Jan McCarthy, who so sadly couldn't make it, but we're still going to talk about entrepreneurship and everything related to it. We're coming at you today from Skid Row Studios and .com in downtown Los Angeles. Thank you all for tuning in. All of our shows are live streamed every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on skidrowstudios.com, real radio on the internet. Our show is dedicated to entrepreneurship. We're going to be sharing business tips, topics, meaningful talk with other entrepreneurs out there who are making it happen. Today we're going to be talking to Sarah Shapori of Sarah Shapori Public Relations. She is an incredible entrepreneur. She's a female entrepreneur, which we really love talking to because they approach business from a really great, passionate, feminine perspective. And we really love hearing what she has to say. If you guys have any questions, feel free to call in. Our number is 1-800-893-9562. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. We love talking to you. We want to hear a little bit more about your business and how you got started.
Yeah, those are two huge questions. How I got started. I really feel like there's something in you. If you know you're going to start a business, if you're going to start doing your own thing, it's like you can't quiet it. It's like a telephone that won't start ringing at like 7 o'clock in the morning. You know, I mean, you just feel it. And I started my business in 2008. I was working at the time for a PR company in LA. I had transferred in from a PR company in London. I had always done things for the brand's sake, I guess, where I was working with people who were always less concerned about the brand. It was more about that kind of throw it at the wall and hope it sticks idea. And I found myself thinking, you know, there's got to be a better way to do this. There's got to be more strategy. There's got to be more energy when it comes to the client. And so without taking as much thought as maybe most people do, a nice cocktail of passion and too much confidence, I kind of just did it and left the company I was with, started my business, worked with clients that maybe my colleagues didn't see the storyline for because it wasn't so easy, but I just knew that they would do it. I knew they'd make it. So my voice kind of became theirs. And since then I've been, you know, paving the way for people that I really, really believe in. And it is amazing. A passion thing. I mean, it is, there is something amazing about being a woman in business. And yeah. I don't want to, you know, go there so much for it. It excludes those male clients that I love, but God, it's incredible to work.
I think that's really
women. Interesting.
It's like as a woman, you have, I feel like we all kind of have that masculine strength in us. Maybe it's, but I feel like maybe it stems a little bit from like almost like a motherly role. Like you, I feel like that's so, when I think about, you know, your business and I think about the way that you treat your clients, it does feel very.
Oh, hands down. I mean, when clients talk to me, if it's a brand, that's fine. If it's celebrity coming in to endorse a product or it is celebrity, their family is their team. I mean, they have their family, but you know, that's the calls you make that tell you, I love you and I believe you no matter what you do. They're not there for the breakdowns and the things that happen that are just so internal that they're uncomfortable sometimes. And of all of those people, of your managers and your agents and your publicist is your mom. I mean, I'm cleaning up. I'm telling you how lovely you are. And I'm meaning every bit of it. But frankly, it's intimate.
Because who's going to fight for someone as much as their mom would?
Absolutely.
I'm actually the daughter of the host of the show, The Normals. And I can tell you guys, for you regular listeners, my Jan McCarthy, she will sell me to the ends of the earth.
So. She is amazing.
She is. She really is.
I mean, I walk into a room with her and the first thing she says is, oh my God, this is Sarah. She's this amazing publicist. And I'm like,
but it's true.
There's something about her. Absolutely. And, you know, she and I had a long conversation about the fact that there aren't enough women in business who have that comfort, who know that I feel like it lifts me up to lift up the women around me.
Oh yeah.
And that's a rarity. I mean, men have no problem doing that if it will give them any gain or find them, you know, a better placement, but that's a struggle for women.
Right.
And your mother is one woman who just
she blows us all away.
She's amazing.
So I'm so excited. Let me go to some of the questions. So, okay, so you talked a little bit about what made you decide to be an entrepreneur, and it was kind of like seeing other people around you running a business and you thinking, I think I can do that better or more in a more personal way, smarter, more successfully. So what was the moment that you really owned being an entrepreneur? Was it a struggle to kind of see yourself in those shoes? And then what happened where you really felt like you were living it?
Absolutely. The idea of being an entrepreneur came after the idea of wanting to, to most people that know me, I am terribly black and white and all too thoughtful about everything.
No.
But it was way more heart than head in this. I realized that my clients were not getting what they needed. I was watching my seniors treat clients in a way that they were passionate about the return. They weren't passionate about the project or the product or the person. And for me, those three P's are the reason that I have a job. I mean, if I didn't have my clients, I would have nothing. And so I think that my heart went, this is not right, and I want to do what's right, and I want to do this the way that I know I can. And of course, having, I don't want to overestimate or underestimate the idea of having the proper tools in your toolkit. I did graduate from business school. At the time, I thought I was going to be a sports manager, so I did all the black and white things to support my business in that way. So I have the black and white education as far as running a business. I think that's probably why I overassumed that those things would fall into place. And I went into it with my heart. And there was a moment I remember sitting in a client meeting and hearing a client want so badly for my colleague to hear them and hear this idea they had and hear this pitch they had. They wanted to basically change the world through their product. And it grabbed me. I mean, I have founded my success on working with people who explore what cause marketing is, who say they're going to change the world through doing something that means something to them. And although there are industry aspects they have their cliche sides to them, and that's just the way that the industry is, they're wholeheartedly working in their business. So for me, I can't say it's a moment, because if I did, I would be lying. It's that moment leaves me. I mean, I have moments where I'm like, oh my God, I have to breathe. I have to make sure that everything's going to be okay. That A-type personality kicks in. But every moment that I have a client feel good about something they're doing, every moment that I feel like talent has reached somebody that hears them, a product has reached a consumer that will then tell that story and change their sort of friend dynamic, their life dynamic. I mean, my moments are happening all the time.
I love that. Because honestly, I mean, it's a really great question, because becoming an entrepreneur does kind of feel like it's such a transition and it feels kind of like a process. But wouldn't it be great if all of a sudden you just switched it on?
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, here you are, entrepreneurial.
Well, and that's the best and worst thing. I mean, you guys know this. That's the best and worst thing about me. It if it hits me, if that call comes, I can't say no. And it does. It strikes me upside the head sometimes when I find somebody that I just want to give a voice to or do for them what maybe they don't know how to do for themselves.
So what kinds of thing, like what, that's what wakes you up in the morning? Is that drive for your clients?
Absolutely. Knowing that, I don't tell my chef how to cook a meal. I don't tell my trainer how to train me. I don't tell my, cleaner how to take care of my garments. I am so lucky to be in a position where I don't have the creative energy that some of my clients have, the creative energy that you yourself own. That's not something that I own in a way that that I could make it my life and my passion. And my creative energy is being able to give a voice and give a place to the people who have that, who own that. And that's it. That's the thing that every day I feel that people don't always know how to make what I do tangible, because it is just that. It's I'm the backup guy. I make sure that you get where you need to be. I don't necessarily, carry the ball into the end zone, but I'm the guy who makes sure you got there. And people don't realize what that is. That's what drives me. I love doing something and knowing that I can do something that is 900% necessary, but a lot of people can't manage. I mean, it's a lot.
That's such a nice
take a weight off of my client's shoulders.
That's such a really nice sentiment to think that, like, to think that, you know, each person has, you know, specific set of gifts, of talents.
Absolutely.
And it's such a shame. We find it such a shame on our show when people are feel trapped and sad and it's true. In a career that they don't really feel like they're thriving in, that mm-hmm. they don't really feel like they're, you know, really being their best selves or being of service to the people around them that they're working with.
Well, and so creative struggle with
for
that
you
constantly.
To find. Yeah, yeah. So for you to not only find something that you are so great at, so talented at, and then so passionate about, but then to get the opportunity to work with people who are also so passionate about the things that they're doing, when you have that much heart and drive in the same place, I think success is.
It's absolutely.
It's just,
you know, if I had to say a moment, I will say that's it. It's in knowing that I got the opportunity to work with amazing companies, amazing brands, amazing clients. But if I'm honest, and I had to tell you that the roster I would have picked was the roster that I was working with, it wasn't the case. So maybe that's my moment in knowing that I don't have to take the easy road to give somebody what they need. You know, I pick clients that I can see the success in, and I just have to put in the work. It's more work, but it's rewarding.
There's always more work. So let's talk a little bit more about entrepreneurship. What do you think is some of the best things about being an entrepreneur, and what kind of daily structure do you have any advice for other entrepreneurs in terms of your like daily structure, how to focus on the things that are the most important for your business success? Because for people like us who started up from the ground up and aren't getting, you know, a huge, you know, some kind of huge startup and people already at the ready working, like what do you do to try to wear all the hats?
Well, first of all, I think that that's an assumption thanks to the tech industry. For years, decades, centuries, businesses have been starting without someone saying, okay, so here's, here's a lot of funds. Yeah, go figure out how to throw them around to make yourself work. So I don't want to take credit away from this because it is hard, but I also think that if you are passionate and stay focused, that will come. I think what my main focuses are maintaining what I know is to be true and helpful that I gained being corporate, and the things that, you know, it's definitely a balance. There's a reason that things are done the way that they are. And I think when you put your spin and your mentality and your ability and your passion on what is maybe somebody's typical 9-to-5 day, you find yourself working 16 hours and being happy you did. And it's not necessarily changing. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I mean, there are things every day I have to do being an entrepreneur that not only would I have not done had I stayed corporate, but I don't love them. But I have... I'm happy doing them because they're an investment. Yeah.
That's like the thing that we just can't stand.
See, and that's you guys versus me. Like, I love that because because it's like I'm so black and white.
Oh, because you're so excited that you're on top of it.
Oh, my God. If I can check out and just balance numbers, it gives me a moment to not feel... Everything I do is service-based. Wow. It's consumer-based. It's client-based. It's human. It's constantly living and constantly breathing. So when I can check out and turn some music on or jump on the phone with a girlfriend and just talk for a while and sit there and do that black and white mindless thing. Oh,
that's amazing.
That's how I like terrible to say. That's my like calm time in the day. If that's what I get to do, you know?
Okay. So you're calm. This is so fascinating to me. I can't understand how anybody could love numbers.
Oh,
unless they have lots of stars at the end. okay. So you love balancing numbers. You love working for your clients. What are some of the things about being an entrepreneur that you struggle with, that you don't love doing, that you know you find is really important to the success of your business?
The emotion of it. I mean, what I do is so intimate. You know, I have to yes, I get to say the great things. I get to lift my clients up. I'm also the one who has to,
like, give a realistic perspective.
Absolutely. Which, you know, creatives wouldn't be creatives if they didn't feel like they were doing something that wasn't already there. And rightfully so. Please feel like you're changing the world, because if you don't, you probably won't attract me and I probably won't want to work with you. That being said, there will be times when that might not actually be the case. Oh. And in order to, you know, land that quarter or work well through that season, whatever your medium is, we have to stay focused. The one thing that's hardest for me in what I do is keeping clients on point, honestly. What I can do, just based on what branding and publicity is now, is so different than it used to be. I don't have two mediums that I throw clients at and you know, get placement and move on to the next idea. With new media and with what is available to clients now, stories can break before I want them to. Great things can happen. People are attracted to the daily life of being, it's a huge idea right now to be a celebrity based on what you do versus actually being a celebrity. Some of my clients are more famous than the people who might be wearing their products or endorsing their products, because it is now a celebrity to be a stylist and a makeup artist and a clothing designer.
And an interior designer.
Absolutely.
Which is so interesting for our business.
Oh my gosh. I mean, good friends go the route of having those shows and creating those products, and those products are selling out over the people who might have been, you know, the 20-year veterans to what that product might be. But guess what? That's the new celebrity, you know? And so that's honing that in and letting the clients know that, yes, they're experts in what they do, but let's keep it structured and let's keep it focused. That's hard for me, because honestly, I would love to have 2 clients, 5 clients, and just give them the world and do everything at once and see what happens. But it's just not practical, and it's difficult. The last thing I want to do is tell somebody that they're not there yet, especially when there's somebody who, if they've worked with me, they're working with me and I'm working with them because I told them they were there and they're amazing. Yeah. And so it's hard to dial that down and not stunt somebody's growth. You know,
So I don't know if I mentioned in the beginning of the show, but I'm one half of a design firm called Caitlin and Caitlin, which is why I'm, I guess, in some sense qualified to talk on entrepreneurship, because I'm currently an entrepreneur. So one of the things about that Caitlin and I, especially me, honestly, I haven't had a terrible amount of experience in the corporate world. And I was talking to a friend of mine about how clients, you know, managing expectations, because you're saying, you know, sometimes you have to keep them on point. You have to create realistic. And so often we're already tell our clients, like, you know, that sofa won't arrive in time. And we're so sorry. It's just the reality of shipment or whatever it is. And a friend of mine who is killing it in the corporate world, talked all about managing client expectations. And she was so calm and comfortable with the notion. And to me, it makes me so sad to be like, no, it won't come in time for the party, you know?
Well, and I think to separate yourself from being corporate and not, I think that's...
It's all personal,
It's a personal thing. It's client specific, and it's kind of being seasoned. I mean, at first, I don't think I said no. I don't think I ever said no for the first 2 years of my business, because I was so excited to be working with people I was passionate about, and I so wanted everything for them. And it was so much passion and so much excitement that I would find myself doing things that I really either should have outsourced or should have said, you know what, this is totally off track. Let's refocus. It becomes easier, but it still strikes you.
So what types of things do you think are really important to outsource? Or maybe just for your business, is it, you know, what kinds of things? Because like I just said, we outsource bookkeeping. Right. We just can't do it.
Right. You know, I... my accountant would probably wish otherwise. I do my own bookkeeping. I enjoy it. I find it exciting. I don't do all the end all stuff, but he definitely wishes.
So you're saying that you outsource your sleep
to Starbucks? Yes, I do. seriously, you know, it's really important for me to be successful that I get the appropriate amount of creative and monetary advert and marketing time. I think a lot of people think that what I do encompasses all these things. And while it can, if I'm going to do what I do best, it shouldn't. So, you know, when I'm working with colleagues that do something that is, again, along those creative lines, but they're living for me in advert and they're living for me in the marketing world more specifically, that's where my money's best spent if I'm asking a client to kind of divvy up what I'm spending, what I'm outsourcing. As far as what I outsource myself, I mean, I have great people that I work with and I love them, but, and this is my own way of business. I'm still very, very intimate with every account. I don't really let a lot go. I'm on every conference call. I try to make sure that every moment of my time is either specifically for my business or is being spent with a client. And, you know, I don't do a ton of my own pitching anymore. But sometimes when it's a passion project, I dive in and I forget that that I can't really do that. That's a really long and fluffy way of saying nothing. Like, I think maybe I'm like, you know, a slightly crazy control freak. I really want, the thing is, my business, my clients are everything. And I can't just hand them off. And part of what I do in my business and being not corporate and being a boutique agency is that, you know, the same reason I decided that sports management wasn't for me. I am an intimate part of what I do. When people sign a contract with me, I'm confused and thankful that they're doing it because they've somehow, in some way, fallen in love with who I am. And
honestly, you guys, who couldn't? Who on this planet Earth could not fall in love with Sarah Schefori?
Oh, please. No, seriously. I mean, I feel like I'm initiating a really big relationship. So I guess, you know what I really outsource is my time. I outsource, my sleep and my actual relationships and my girlfriends that know that if they hear from me once a month, they just know I still love them because there's not enough. When you're working in a service-based industry, there is just not enough time in
the day. There's never enough time.
Really?
Yeah. It's so, so true. That's the truth thing. But and then at the same time, I just really feel like it's worth it.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think my openness and my so PR chattiness. I mean, my clients never feel that far away from me. So they involve me in everything. And it's a blessing and a curse. You know, I love them and I love who I work with. And I find that they get a lot of me, but it feels so good.
Well, lucky, 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 lucky then. So what's your best business tip?
Gosh, I'd have to say, be true to who you are. I mean, you can't. Being an entrepreneur is something that will ask you to always beg the question. Did I ask enough for who I was at that moment, in that time, at that contract? Did I ask enough for my client? Did I fight hard enough? Did I invest enough? There's always going to be questions. The one question you should never ask is, did I care enough? Did I work hard enough? Is this why I decided to start my own business? And if you ever have to answer that question with a no, then you're not doing it right. And I hate to be so blunt about that, but above all, it should feel good. Because why not? Why not have a corporate car and a corporate card and a court? Like, because this feels better. This feels better than all that other stuff.
Yeah.
And if you can't say that, then you have to really figure out what it is that you're doing. I think a lot of entrepreneurial advisees and publications and things would tell you, you know, really think about what you're doing and don't overinvest and don't overanalyze and don't, no. You know, put all your eggs in one basket if your basket is you. Work really hard and kill it.
I love that.
If you fall on the floor, you fall on the floor because you, honestly, you worked your ass off. And I hope that's not terrible that I say that, but it's so worth it. No matter what the end result, it's so worth it. So just don't give in and don't give up. And as somebody who did say yes way too many times, you know, at the same time, learn how to manage expectation.
Yeah. Another time guest interviewed was Daniel Shemtob, and he said that the first business he started, he over-leveraged, and he found himself back at home in his parents' house, And he didn't let that stop him from entrepreneurship. Went back out there, and now he has a hugely successful business growing at a ridiculously rapid rate. So I think that's really smart. If you have passion and you just want it so badly, and if you have something special to offer, and if you're willing to put in the time.
Absolutely.
Put in
the, well, and having been there, that step back, that fallback, when it's for you, it feels different than when it's for someone else. And if you don't answer that call, should you have the call to be an entrepreneur, you'll have far more regret than ever falling back.
Our regular host of the show likes to say, the the richest place in the world is the graveyard, because it's full of all the ideas that never actualized. So I think that's a really beautiful sentiment.
It's very true.
If you feel the calling, answer it.
Well, and it feeds that calling. I mean, it's really hard to maintain a lifestyle when you're not proud of what you're doing. And I just can't find myself. Honestly, I think it's in our roots. It's who we are. It's however we, you know, I think that being, you know, how you're raised does matter, but it's who you become and how you find yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really important to just never let anyone take you down, unless it's you. If you fall on your ass because of yourself, then that's great. Pick yourself up again and figure it out. It's doable.
So you're in public relations. Everyone in business wants to grow their business, reach a larger audience without giving away all your secrets. What kinds of advice would you have for a small business who wants to gain access to, or at least grow their business in a sense, if they feel like, you know, the press side is sure. lacking? What kinds of things can they do without, if they are just starting out or they can't afford your services, which, you know, you can't afford not to.
You know, here's the thing. I think a lot of people, before they even get to that question, they've overlooked exactly what their brand is and what their kind of market value is. So, you know, my response to that varies based on those two questions. If you are, you know, out there peddling the same concept, unfortunately, that some of your competitors are, that's tough. There's got to be a spin. There's got to be a concept that makes you different than everyone else. You know, my advice would be to really dive into, understand, rebrand if you have to, but grasp a concept that is truly yours. Do something that's original, even if you feel like it's not fully alive in the market, you're probably going to be better off. It's really, really difficult in what I do without endorsement to, as far as product-wise goes, well, and even service. If I can't rely on the client on a service basis being somebody who is remarkable and honest and open and forthcoming and crazy sometimes, or if I can't rely on that product to be 100% better than those that it might be thrown up against, I find myself doing more cleanup than I do get to do what I enjoy, which is telling the world about something that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So before you even sit down with a publicist, before a publicist takes your money, which most will, before you sit down and try to spend advert and marketing dollars, really think about, is this it? Is this it? Because once you throw it out there, there's no going back. So just really, really, really dive into branding. I think the best dollar spent before they find somebody like me, and, you know, we do this at my firm, but we don't necessarily get the opportunity to dive in initially like some people do in the branding world. Sometimes I get things I have to clean up before I can pitch them out. Spend money on really market testing your product.
So we're so excited that we have a caller. and I'm still guest hosting, so I'm trying to figure out how to receive it. Oh, no. We know how to receive it. We're going to receive it right now. Hi, caller. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, this is Randy. I'm calling from Baltimore. Is this Kiki?
No, this is Caitlin and Sarah, and you're on The Life of an Entrepreneur.
Oh, wrong show.
Randy,
sorry.
Are you an entrepreneur?
Nah.
Not an entrepreneur? Do you have any questions for entrepreneurs? Oh, okay. You know what? I think we're just going to go back to our regular programming, but thank you so much for calling in.
No problem.
All right. Well, there we have a...
Sorry, Kiki. I hope we didn't.
Hope we weren't trying to get a hold of Kiki wasn't too urgent. So let's go back to one of our questions so we can talk a little bit more about Sarah, her business, what tips she might have for us, and what her life is like and how we can glean some insight. If you do have a question, call in at 800-893-9562. Sarah, and so were there any naysayers when you're starting out? Sometimes entrepreneurs feel a little bit of, you know, resistance, maybe a little bit of the practical voice inside their head or outside they're saying, oh, no, what about job security? What about this? What about that? Were there naysayers? And what did you say to them?
You know, absolutely. I mean, I think from many places, there are friends and family who want to make sure that you're going to be okay.
And I think it comes from a well-intentioned place.
Absolutely.
Honestly.
And to them, I said, I love you and you love me and I'll be okay. You know, I have what it takes to also go pick myself up and do what I have to do. That being said, I started my business in 2008. I was younger then. And I had this whole, you know, I don't care if I have to slang coffee at Starbucks. I'll do that versus do what I know I love and I know I'm good at and I know what I'm going to do until the day I die for somebody that doesn't see things the way that I see them. And that might be absurd, but it's how I felt. So, and they knew that, you know, they grew up with me and that's how I am. To the people who from, you know, anybody that I worked with, consulted with on a business level, the major concern with what I do, and this can kind of speak true to your guys' business as well, you know, what sells you is your aesthetic, basically what makes you, cut you apart from your competitors.
Mm-hmm.
What cuts me apart is me. And so I'm that different thing. My take on an account might be different than somebody else's. So I had a lot of black and white business reflection on the markets already, especially in LA, New York, inundated with publicity firms. How are you going to cut yourself above the rest of them? And how are you going to get where you deserve to be? Would it not be better? You know, Sarah, we see you. Yes, we see you as an entrepreneur. Yes, we see you being successful. Would it not be smarter to do something that is more tangible, that is more, you know, it's a very gray thing. A lot of people who need publicity sometimes don't even know what it is. A lot of people have the wrong idea about publicity. So there were actually quite a few people who said, you know, it's not that we don't believe in you, you know, which you definitely want to hear. That's just lovely.
Right.
But we want to make sure that your best ability is being put to use. And yeah, what I do now, I have to manage a lot of expectation. I have to manage a lot of gray things. It's not as black and white as it could be had I just managed high-level accounts. I have to do the rest of it too. And my only response was thank you. And I'll take that into, you know, I'm not somebody who, when they decide to do something, can really be stopped, which is good and bad. But it didn't occur to me that ever came from a place, and it still doesn't, where I should think, you know what, let's go back to the drawing board. Let's refigure. And I go there. I've been there before where I feel like it gets tough. But nothing feels better than getting out of that and going, okay, like you didn't give up on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's little to be said from anyone around you and from you when you do that. You know, if you fight hard, nobody's gonna bring you down. So, you know, and we all get the black and white information. You know, you sit down with your accountant. Okay, next year, let's spend a little less on this. Let's put a little bit more over here. Like that's the kind of information that I have to take and respect and deal with. Everything else, you know, if things go wrong, don't worry. Like I'll deal with it. It'll be okay. So,
I just have a feeling that you can deal with anything. I understand why your clients trust you so much because you're so on top of everything. I'm like fumbling because I think you're just so incredible.
Well, I appreciate that.
Okay, so here you are working, spending, you know, so much time on your clients, spending so much time, you know, on business development. I know it has to happen at some point. What do you do to unwind?
I have my occasional monthly non-work or red carpet related outing. It's usually to the gym and then to like yogurt land or something.
we have another caller.
Do they know I'm not Kiki?
This is not Kiki. Okay, we're good. Hi, caller. You're on the air. What's your name and what's your question?
Hi, my name is Adele, and my question is for Sarah, and it's about I'm an artist, and I'd like to get some feedback about how to get some PR, some PR for being an artist.
Absolutely. Hi, Adele. Tell me about your work.
My work is an abstract work, and I've been doing it for a very long time, and I'm just interested to see if I should hire a publicist to get work out to more people.
And where are you located? Where is your fan base? Do you live in LA? Do you live in New York?
Over the country, but it's with marketing and trying to get a bigger audience. I was just wondering if I should... you know, if it's worthwhile to hire a publicist and what they could do for me.
How many solo shows have you had?
I have had, I'd say about, over 100.
My goodness. And you're without publicity. Can we hold this caller? Can we hold this caller and I can consult her in full after? Wow, first of all, congratulations. That's amazing.
Thank you.
You know, I think that the one downfall to the art world right now is that you're in a position where if you really want to make things major happen, you're reliant on a gallery. I don't know if you have online sales. I don't know if your shows are specifically held in galleries, but I would suggest to you that you work on personal publicity. Nothing sells art more than falling in love with the artist. It really doesn't matter anymore what your medium is. It is you who's going to sell that piece. Your aesthetic will draw in somebody who might love what you do, but they might love, in general, abstract art, and they won't give enough effort and energy to find out who the artist is behind the piece. They won't find out who you are and stick with you. Your work needs long-term consumers. You need loyal fans. And in order to do that, you need to attach yourself to everything that you do. Giving yourself the opportunity to have, you know, guest lecturing spots at art schools, going and reaching out to your local community. I find with the art community, the more intimate things are the things that land you the biggest spots. That talk, that moment, that how-to communication with other artists falls you into, as well as we are, the entrepreneurial status, which then gives you the leverage to be a bit bigger than you are, which is huge. A lot of artists sit behind their work. They don't necessarily understand that there's just as much of a consumer base, a high buying base that wants to buy from people that are working from the same place that they function in. You know, the great thing about art is we typically are attracted to art that fills the holes in which we can't necessarily achieve ourselves. My first attraction to an artist who's had that much work and that much time in the industry is to talk about you, you know, to go and sell who you are as an artist.
To go and sell who I am as an artist online.
Absolutely.
And is there a special thing online like that would you recommend of, you know, to add to my website?
I would start blogging. That's always my first suggestion. Blog mm-hmm. about what you do and what inspires you. Look for local columns or publications that reflect the work that you do and communicate with them on a basis that you can offer them information that comes from a more intimate place than an editorial place. You can offer them the real understanding of what you do to their readers. Leverage personal profiles, leverage, visual placement, get your photo out there, show people who you are and what you do. And I promise you, it'll grow your business.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. That's a huge help.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad that you called in.
Thank you so much, Adele, for calling in.
Okay.
Best of luck to you.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Sarah.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, Adele, that was so sweet. Adele asked about her business, and then you talked about selling her
Absolutely.
As part of her brand. Do you recommend that to all of your clients? It sounds like huge.
That's
like
the one thing that guides me in how I select my clients. I find that these days a product or a celebrity or a show or a film, they don't land by themselves. They land because they have amazing people behind them. And I can much more and much longer leverage publicity for somebody who can speak to anything, who has a heart, versus what a general product is. I really can't, there's not enough space for me anymore. You know, you really want the client to have a voice. I always tell people, no matter what you're doing, if you really want to live your life doing this, think about the many things that reflect who you are. You know, I don't believe that you only want to create paint. I don't believe that you only want to design somebody else's space. So in order to do that, you set yourself up to be the person behind all the things that can reflect who you are. You have to be the celebrity. You have to be the thing that makes your work drive. And you could sell, you know, God, you could sell Ziploc bags with your name on them and people would buy them because there's a level in our market that, you know, people fall in love.
Oh, yeah. People will buy Ziploc bags with Kim Kardashian on them, won't they?
Oh, Lord.
They would. No. That's so great. That's really great advice. I know that Caitlin and I try to do that. And, you know, we hope that that will give it, because we're still a young company, still a growing business. I mean, I don't even know if you had when you're an entrepreneur, if at some point you don't even think of yourself as young anymore, because it always feels like there's so much more that you can accomplish. But we try to attach ourselves to our brand. You know, it is a very personal thing. But my question is, have you seen that really work out for people?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've worked with clients who, when they come to me, their project is so focused and so detailed. And by the time we're done, I mean, they're doing things that they never thought they'd do. And again, that's not just, you know, that's not just my work. That's the marketplace. You have people that you wouldn't expect to be consulting on fashion lines and beauty lines. You have people collaborating with artists that, you know, before new media, it just never happened. It really never happened. So thanks to collaboration, thanks to the idea of honestly, art and music and fashion taking a run in 90% of what we consume every day, I've rarely been in a meeting where I don't see something for a potential client and they don't think, whoa, I didn't... Absolutely. And I have the expertise to do that. And I didn't even consider it. You know, people think that what they've done in their own careers, what they've done in their lives before they're an entrepreneur, if I catch them, they've probably done something that showed them that wasn't what they wanted. And 9 times out of 10, it's actually a leading line in my story of them, because it makes them who they are to their consumers. It makes them more successful and more experienced to have done something that of course, through the magic of PR writing, it you know, it gives them an extra layer to their personality, which gives them an extra opportunity for, you know, merchandising, for offering experience and expertise. I mean,
well, I love Steve Jobs' quote: "You can't connect the dots moving forward; you can only connect them looking back." And I find such, you know, such comfort in that when I'm thinking like, "What am I doing?" And then I think, "Oh, it'll all make sense." How have you seen that play out in your life?
I mean, like I said, I went to business school. I thought I was going to be an accountant. And then I was like, well, you know, I'm so intimate with what I do. I really love the doing business side of business. You know, took an internship, went to Shanghai and Hong Kong, thought I was going to work with sports management. I knew it was people and I love sports. So, you know, all my girlfriends just love that about me. poor girls being dragged out to watch football games. But I realized that there's so much more to what I do and who I do it with than most people. So I couldn't be happy balancing numbers, although I find it comforting sometimes. I couldn't be happy working with people that aren't necessarily being creative. I mean, I was just drawn to doing this because I get to work with people who, honest to God, they see the world as their oyster. There isn't a single person out there who needs publicity and doesn't think that they deserve it. And that level of ego and interest, I can't live without. I love it.
Sarah, I'm so struck by your passion for your clients. I think it's really interesting, you know, to use that word, someone said that, you know, if you want to be interesting, be interested. And it seems that way. So you find your clients so compelling. Ugh. You find their stories so beautiful. You find their passion so inspiring. And to me, sitting here looking at you, that is what's making you inspiring and beautiful and so special, so unique. And I'm blown away. I'm just blown away.
I appreciate that. I mean, that's one thing that in my industry, it's hard to maintain face because you're always in the background. So I do appreciate the love I get from my clients, but it's also because they get 100% of me. So it's if you're a client, you're a friend. So it's hard to not have that kind of admiration for each other. You know, it feels good.
That's beautiful.
It's money in the bank. Sometimes.
We like that. That's awesome. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a couple more questions because I want to get these questions out there because I know it's important to our listeners. So, we've asked so many of them, but I really want to get to all of them because I know they're really important.
We're naturally diving through.
Is there anything that you really want to share?
I would say I don't want to dive too much into... I think everybody's capable, everybody's competent. You really can do so much with what you're given. Whoever you are, whatever you've gone through, none of us have had it perfect, and we can all do big things. The one thing I will say, a little more specific, but to not draw away from men listening, it's really important, I find, for women that I work with, the women that surround me. I mean, being strong and being confident and being passionate about what you do is never a bad thing. And I think that in the industry, sometimes it's hard. It's hard to stick to how you feel about something. It's hard to stick with right is right because there's so many things that can be more attractive. I just think it's really important to be honest as a woman in business, to be emotional when appropriate, to be, you know, kind of confident and ballsy when need be. And if I could wish anything for everyone in my life, it would just be that if they're a woman, they live that. And if they are a man, they respect that. That's my biggest, you know, I get to watch people every day question themselves because they think that maybe somebody else is going to do it better. And we all deserve somebody in our corner that, you know, isn't hired, you know, like I am, but somebody to tell them, you'll kill it. You'll be amazing. And I think if we were all more confident and more strong, that would be something that we couldn't stop from coming out of our mouths about the people that we love and the people that we witness and the work that we get to see. Just be strong. That's my only... And there are many things, but that's the biggest thing. I think so much trickles from that.
Yeah. Be strong. And then I feel like you're kind of also talking about surrounding yourself with people.
Oh, that's huge. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, because I'm so proud to call you a friend. And you know, Caitlin and I are so happy that we have each other. And I love surrounding myself with entrepreneurs, with people that are, you know, supportive of me. And we can
absolutely
connect and, you know.
And that only happens if you're clear and honest about what interests you and what you're good at and what, I mean, it's okay to not know everything and it's okay to be really good at some things. You know, it really is. And I think from that you find people, you know, I've been attracted to incredible organizations and individuals and entrepreneurs that have literally changed the way that I see things. You know, working with organizations like Falling Whistles, working with, I can't even begin. When I think about the world of what does good out there and the people that I've been lucky enough to meet, I feel like I am a part of my own little history. You know, I'm watching people change the world around me. And it's because, you know, just being an entrepreneur sometimes isn't enough. You have to still be who you are. And if you can find the balance between being comfortable and... being comfortable and being successful, two things that sometimes don't always go together, you'll attract people naturally that just, they're on your same wavelength. They are in your, you know, you guys share the same wheelhouse. You've got it. And that just, to me, changes the way that we all work. It changes the way that we all feel. It's huge.
Well, for that, I feel so lucky to know you.
And you.
This is actually not the Life of the Entrepreneur. It's the Mutual Admiration Society over here. If you guys are just tuning in.
This isn't a love talk show.
This is just Sarah and I just thinking that we're the greatest ever. Oh. But it's true. No, you're such a gem.
I appreciate that. Seriously.
You're so sweet. Okay, so we're kind of rounding out our show. We only have a few more minutes to talk to Sarah. And I want to ask you. Well, we were talking a little bit about
drum roll. What's that?
No, I'm trying to think about all the things we've been talking about. And I want to ask some really important questions because I know how people feel really excited to talk to people in PR because it's to a lot of us it seems kind of like this mysterious thing.
Absolutely.
And we want to tap into our business in that sense and it's you know it's hard. Just like Adele called in because she is so curious. How do you for Because for us, we know that we're dealing with decor, whether it's an office or a home, or a restaurant, whatever it is. We know that it's still, you know, there's principles to it. Sofa, chair. For you, you're dealing with so many different types of companies. How do you kind of manage those different types of businesses?
I think it's important to remember that. We live in a day and age where there's so much media, which I think a lot of people think is a negative thing, and they find it to be a reason to complain as to not have as much attention as they need. And really, based on, again, you being true to who you are, if you're in front of your business, if you're beside your business, there's a publication out there who wants to talk to you. There's a publication who, you know, you might have things in common with. Your business might have things in common with. There's so much out there to absorb that... Honestly, I think clients are most surprised and most excited, and we did the same thing. I mean, a client, I'll sit across from you and Caitlin, and you're considering things that are, they're big ideas to you. Your perspective is less because you're in it. It is a lot. You're running a lot. You're doing a lot. So when I say something to you guys, it's like out of the box. You're like, well, of course we could do that. But it just doesn't. It doesn't occur to you because you're like, okay, these are the steps we take. These are the things that we have to do to get there. And what I do is something that says, you know what? If you miss step C, but your business sense and your business model and your ability is better than the people that you're around.
It's that objective.
Then let's jump it. I mean, let's jump it and see what we can do about it. Let's change the way that your consumers are seeing you. And then you can stop worrying about the people that you're competing with. A lot of people who sit down with me think, you know, I don't know. Can I do this? Am I ready? I mean, you're as ready as you want to be. When you sit down with a publicist, just know that they're seeing things that you're going to have to just be comfortable with if they're doing their job right. I mean, again, that's part of the reason I left corporate. New media changed everything. I don't want to sit and think about a press release and think about where that press release is going to run and think about where. That's just not the way the industry works anymore. I create collaborations. I connect the right people with the right things so that they can do something that's much more organic than it used to be, and it gets the attention it deserves. So, you know, I really think, yes, it's specific, but that's kind of the beauty of it. And I think to people who don't do this, that's overwhelming.
So for you and for your clients, you feel like new media has really given
a
huge opportunity for launching businesses.
Huge. Huge. They're given extensions that they used to have to sit and wait for somebody like me or my counterparts to work for. And to people who aren't confident in what they do, that scares them. I think it's beautiful.
So everyone listening, there's no more excuses. If you want to launch a business, go out there and do it. Don't be afraid. If you have any questions, tune in to our show next week. We'll talk about everything entrepreneurial and we'd love to hear from you next time too. So 11 a.m. on Tuesdays, SkidRowStudios.com. This is The Life of an Entrepreneur. Thank you so much, Sarah Shapori.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.